This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gilbert Kelly of New City Church, located in Fairburn and Peachtree City, Georgia. For more information, please visit us at newcitychurch.net.
We need to think beyond ourselves and our generation. So this morning, I'm going to go into the next P. Are you ready? This morning, we're going to talk about the presence of God. The presence of God. And you know, whenever we describe the presence of God, I know that's a overriding statement. And whenever we talk about the presence of God, typically there are three concepts that are discussed concerning the presence of God. The first concept is what is known as omnipresence. The omnipresence of God, which means God is everywhere at all times, all the time. God is everywhere, and that is an absolutely true concept. The second concept that you often hear is what is known as the manifest presence of God, sometimes known as the cloud of glory. It's what's often felt even in a worship service like this morning or in a prayer service as the elders and pastors of this house gathered in my basement yesterday morning for a couple of hours of just prayer. That is what is known as the manifest presence. In other words, it's a felt presence that you feel. And the third basic concept that you see in the Word of God is what I would call mountaintop experiences. Mountaintop experiences, these are personal encounters where God just shows up to you and gets all in your business. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? In a very supernatural, freezing way. I've had those happen to me a number of times. I had them happen to me driving down the street over there on, what's the candle? What is the street over there? Off of 92? Anyway, made a right on 92 on that street, headed over to 54, turned the corner, went 500 yards, and boom, God is all up in my car. I had to pull over and weep and listen. Mountaintop. But as I meditated on what God is saying to us today in this season of preparation, I realize that the presence of God awareness that we need in greater measure as we prepare for these roaring 20s is a fourth concept. A fourth concept that's in the Word. So I'm going to speak on the concept of God's presence that is really the purpose for all three that we have mentioned. This concept of God's presence is really at the heart of the matter of the presence of God. It's really the heart of the Bible from creation to eternity. It's really the heart of everything that God is doing in the earth today. This morning, the presence of God, I'm going to talk about the concept of God with us. God with us. It's the heart of the matter. It's the heart of the Bible. It's the heart of everything God is doing. God with us. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord, just lifting up your holy name. Lord, I just pray that there would for surely be less of me, Lord God, but absolutely, certainly more of you, Lord God. Show us, reveal more of yourself to me and to us by your word. Lord, guide my lips, guide my heart, guide my motives. But most of all, guide your word. May it bear fruit in the hearts and minds and souls of the believers who have gathered here this morning. I'm so very thankful for your word that we don't have to figure it out. You wrote it out. And we just thank you for that this morning, Lord. We bless the word. We bless your holy name. Help me, Jesus. I pray, come Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. God with us. God with us. Come on, say God with me. It's a realization. God with us is a glorious actuality that unbelievers reject, unbelievers deny, but listen, for many Christians, it is often forgotten. For many Christians, it is often neglected. For many Christians, it is often undervalued as we journey along this road of life, that God with us, God with me, God with you concept is so easily, even by believers, forgotten. And as a result, for all intended purposes, that presence of God, that God with us presence, is lost. It's not lost to God, but lost to man. You see, man gets lost on the journey. God is never lost. Let me say it again. Man gets lost on the journey, but God is never lost. Man started getting lost very early in the journey. You know when he started getting lost? Come on, how many of you know? In the garden. In the garden, here we go again. You know, I can't preach a word without the bookmark, the bookend scriptures, Genesis and Revelation. You know what's coming. Genesis 3:8. And it says that after you know what happened, they ate from the tree and Eve gave Adam some and he messed up and they realized they had messed up and they just were like scared now, we messed up. And in Genesis 3:8 it says, and now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Anybody ever been there? They heard the sound of the Lord God, God with them, walking. I want to submit to you that he was there all alone in the garden. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the cool of the day. It was a nice day. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. What happened? What happened? The same things that happened to so many other of God's people, they got caught up in personal desires and temptation. They got so caught up in their personal desires and temptations and sin that they forgot about the presence of God. And when they heard the sound of the Lord God walking, God with us, they hid themselves from God because of sin and guilt. But listen, they hid from God. God did not hide from them. No. Yet still, even in their pursuit of personal agenda, even in their sin, even in their failure, the heart of God for them did not change. Yes, they lost the garden. Listen, they lost the garden, but they never lost the presence of God. They never lost the presence of God. I submit to you today that man still tries to hide from God. Come on, we try. Come on, make it personal. We try. Because of personal desires, because of our own agenda, our own activity, and sometimes even because of sin and guilt, we try to hide from God ourselves. But I'm here to tell you that God's heart for you still never changes. And let me tell you this, here's the good news. All that was lost. How many know when you do wrong, you lose something? Sin costs you something. But all that was lost for the believer will be restored. And much more. That is the Bible. Come on, that is the revelation of Jesus. That is what being the Redeemer means. That's what being the Savior means. That's what being the Deliverer means. All that was lost because of your sin and my sin and our rebellion for the believer in Jesus Christ will be restored and much, much more. Come on, let's go to the other bookend, Revelation 21, 3, 4. He said, this is, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. This is where the Bible is going. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's what the Bible is all about. That's what everything that God is doing in the earth today is all about. No more hiding. Face to face. How many know if he's wiping away every tear from your face? It's face to face. Face to face. No more hiding. No need to hide because of sin and guilt and failure. Only the heart of God from the beginning to the end. The presence of God. God with us. That's all that he wants. That's all that he wants. When God revealed his presence to Moses on Mount Horeb, my wife and I, we sat and watched the Ten Commandments last week. Got it on a DVD, Moses. Love it. But when he revealed his presence to Moses on Mount Horeb after being a murderer and after a life in Egypt and after running away from his own people because he was afraid for his life, after 40 years in the wilderness, after. In Exodus 3:6, and God identified himself to Moses, he said he introduced himself this way. He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And what did Moses do? The first thing he did was the same thing Adam and Eve. The Bible says he hid his face. Can I hide from him? No, you can't. He said, I'm the God of your father. And his father in the Bible, he doesn't even give it a name, just says he was a Levite, and his mother was a Levite, just a man. He said, I'm the father of Abraham. Abraham is known as faithful. Faithful Abraham, not perfect, but faithful. I'm the God of Isaac. Isaac had some issues, pretty minor, but he was known as a man after devotion. After God's heart. But then he said, I am the God of Jacob. Jacob. Okay, now we've got some questions. Jacob. Doesn't his name mean deceiver? Or really in the Greek, surpasser? In other words, I'm gonna get around you some kind of way. Schemer. I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and by the way, I'm the God of Jacob. That Jacob, that same Jacob that was in his mother's womb was fighting with his brother Esau, holding on this hill, trying to be the first one out so that he could steal the birthright. Jacob. And still, after that, wasn't successful as a teenager. He still cheated his brother out of the birthright and the blessings. Jacob? That Jacob. I'm the God of Jacob, the one who was a mama's boy. And because he was a mama's boy, she helped him steal the birthright. You think you got some family problems? Jacob? Let me give you some deeper family problems. Because of all that, his brother said, I'm going to kill you as soon as our daddy dies. Read your Bible. As soon as daddy dies, boy, I'm going to murder you. I love the Bible. How many love the Bible? Forget looking at the soap operas. Forget it. You don't have to look at no soap operas. No, just read the Bible. And then, listen, mama warned her little favorite mama's boy, and to keep him from being murdered by his brother, sent him off. Or you go off and live with your uncle Laban, who was, by the way, just as much a schemer as Jacob. And it's going to be under the guise, really, of I'm sending you to find a wife. That's the Bible, people. Have you ever known someone that was a Christian but always trying to work a scheme? Go ahead and point to him. Go ahead. Always trying to get ahead, get something for nothing. That's a Jacob. Come on, look in the mirror and take a good look at him. Come on. So Jacob the schemer. I'm the God of Jacob, Moses. So Jacob the schemer is now on this journey with his mama's help. He's running from scheming and running to more scheming. And he found himself on this hard, stony road between where God brought him from to where God was sending him to. For God's purposes, not his mama's purposes, not Jacob's purposes, for God's purposes. So let's go to the word in Genesis chapter 28, starting at verse 10. It says, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it as his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. It was a hard road. Nothing to lay his head on but a stone. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Now with Moses, he was going to add Jacob to that list. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Hold up now. That ain't fair. You would think it would go to Esau. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Somebody needs to listen. And will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? There is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And the stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. I believe I'm going to tell some of you something about God's house you don't know. See, this is the heart of the gospel. And this is the heart of God. And also, this is the prophetic foundation stone of the church of Jesus Christ. Jacob said, if God will be with me, and Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Jacob said, if you would give me bread to eat, and Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jacob said, if you would put clothes on me, and Jesus clothes us with righteousness, mercy, grace. Jacob said, then the Lord shall be my God. This is a confession of faith. And then he said, in all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. The principle of the tithe. From Abraham to today, it's the test of the heart of man. The tithe. It's the test of not forgetting, not neglecting, not undervaluing the presence of God. So the Bible says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So the Bible says you can't love both God and money. Listen, you can't depend both on the presence of God and the presence of money. The test of tithing is the test of which presence do you really depend on. Isaiah 2:3 says, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord. Listen, this is hundreds of years later. Isaiah is saying, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of who? Jacob. He will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths. And look in Genesis 28:22, Jacob said, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. It's the prophetic foundational stone of the church, the stone. Let's come on up through the years a little bit to Matthew 16:13-18. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say? Come on, we're talking about the presence of God. Who do you say? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say that you are Peter. And on this rock, the same rock, the same rock that Jacob laid his head on, the same rock that Isaiah prophesied. He said, on this rock, the rock of the testimony of who he is, the rock of the testimony of the presence, the reality of Jesus, on this rock that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The same rock that came by the same realization, that came by the same testimony. When Jacob and Peter finally stopped hiding from the presence of God with them. Jacob, on that stony road, it wasn't so much a cloud of glory atmosphere. Like it is, no, he was asleep. And God came in a vision, in a dream, to Jacob the deceiver, who, listen, when he got to Laban, would deceive again. Peter, it wasn't so much a burning bush experience like Moses on Mount Horeb. No, Peter, it was just a question answer with Jesus, the Son of Man, made flesh, standing in front of him like the person sitting next to you. Peter, brash, impulsive, unsteady. And listen, he will be unsteady again, even in a moment of fear, denying his Savior three times. But God's heart for them did not change. But now they both had a realization that would carry them beyond their failures. A realization that for many Christians today is forgotten, is neglected, is undervalued. On that sometimes hard, rocky road from where God has brought you and me from to where he is leading you and me to. Marked by our own failures along the way. But like Jacob, like Peter, in this busy, busy, crazy world of our own agendas and our own plans, if we would just pause, if we would just be still a moment, if we would just stop hiding from God, you would discover something precious. The ever-present companionship of God. You will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit with signs and wonders and dreams and visions. Then, like Jacob, you will recognize the help that often comes from heavenly beings, from angels, sometimes seen and sometimes not seen. Why? To help you build his kingdom, to help you build his church, and to help you build your life on his purposes. Are you listening to me, church? And then when the road of your journey gets rocky, and I must admit there's some times when it's straight and smooth, and there's some times when all the straight and smooth and asphalt goes away, and you feel like you're walking on nothing but rocks, amen? Like Jacob in the middle of his journey. And when your journey gets rocky, you'll be able to stand and say, or better still, lay down and rest and say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. How many of you have ever seen an angel? You know you saw an angel. Just raise your hand high. Just wave. I know it's not going to be everywhere. It's okay. And I think many of you, if not all, have seen angels that the Bible says you entertained and didn't know it. I have. It's just crazy with me and Mona, really. Three times face-to-face, twice with Mona, us in a hospital, clearly, both of us together. It's almost like a dream. It was so out there, but I have to look at her. Did that happen? Yeah, that happened. Once on a Christmas Eve when I was dejected, mad, angry. God sent an angel down to Jimmy Carter Boulevard on a Christmas Eve. Nobody out there but me and it, I guess, or him. With a message just to let me know that Jesus loved me. And once a voice, a female voice from the woods that rocked me to the bone. And all it said, it was a female. All she said was two words that I had no idea what they meant until 2 weeks later. Those two words changed the course of my life. God knows we're not perfect. God knows that we are not sinless. But what God does not want is for us to hide from him. Hiding from God is separation from his help. Help that comes from his presence and your awareness of his presence. You know, when I was working on this message, I found myself downtown Atlanta in this antique store on 14th Street, and I was working on this message, and it's amazing. God just works it on me, and I'm in this store, and it's all kind of godlessness around me, you know, just the stuff and around people, and I was feeling real holy. It was just a bunch of mess going on, and I just felt it in the spirit. Lord, I don't want to be in here. It's a dark place. I don't even know where I came. I'm just looking for a picture for the wall. It is so dark, and people, they don't know God. They don't love you, and it's just, and I felt so out of place, and so, you know, oh me, oh holy me, I'm so pious, you know. I'm so good, Lord. And I thought about my message. I said, Lord, you're in this place, and I didn't know it. And you know what I did? This is what I want you to encourage you to do. When you're in one of those places, I stopped and I said, Lord, I acknowledge right now that you are here with me and I love you. And right in here at a whisper, I'm going to sing praises to your name. And you're going to help me to be a light in this place and walk with me, Lord. My countenance changed. Those people who were looking at me and they like, you know, he sure is ugly, were saying, he sure do look good, you know. It's like, it changed everything. It changed the way I view the lost, even. Take that home with you. When you're in that rocky place or in that place you don't want to be or the place, you know what? Acknowledge the presence of God with you. Let him know that you know. Praise him right there. Talk to him right there. And you watch. He's going to bless you right there. This Jacob 20 years later. After he had been with Laban 20 years, he heard something that wasn't good news to him. He heard that as 20 years later now, I've been with my scheming uncle and I've been scheming. I've been stole sheep and you know what? He cheated and gave me a wife I didn't want. You know what I mean? I had to take her and her work another 7 years. Supposed to be 14, 7 and now it's 14. All kind of family junk going on. The one I wanted, she don't really like me. Because she ain't having no babies. It's just, you know, just rough. And then he hears the worst news of all. Your brother Esau is coming and he has 400 armed men. Read your Bible. Jake was afraid. And that night as Jacob saw the consequence of his scheming closing in on him. How many know scheming has a consequence? You see, you reap what you sow. And he's thinking about all that stuff of the law. And he had another encounter right then with the presence of God in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. It says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man, cap on the M, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip went out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and man with man and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. It's funny, God gave him a limp. God broke his pride. Like Paul, a thorn, lest he be exalted because of the revelation of what he's seen. Come on, how many know God wants us to be humble? But he gave him something greater. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. God changed his name from what he was to what his seed would be. A great nation that will come from his loins. He changed his name from what he was, a deceiver, to his purposes in life. It's funny, when you read the life of Jacob beyond this point, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was no longer a deceiver. God said to Peter, Peter, blessed you are, Simon Bar-Jonah. And down in verse 18, he says, I also say to you that you are Peter. God changed his name from who he was to what the destiny of his testimony would begin, the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, worship team, I'm about to wrap it up. Let me ask you a question, church. What name in your life does God want to change? What name has been put on your life? What name? Deceiver? Failure? Loser? Hopeless? Worthless? Addict? Adulterer? Divorcee? Lonely? What name is on your life? Who gave you that name? Your mama? Your daddy? Man? Or the most likely of all, you? God wants to change your name. But let me say this about that name. Don't be angry about it. Don't even be ashamed of it. Don't even feel guilt over it. Don't despise that name. I noticed something in the Bible that when God introduced himself to Moses, he still called Jacob, Jacob. Have you ever thought about that? After he had changed his name, your name is not Israel, yet hundreds of years later when he came to Moses, he said, I am the God of Jacob. I'm the God of Jacob. Don't despise that name. You see, God had a way of calling men names. He was a name caller. But he called them the name that was whose they were, not the name of what he was going to make them. In other words, that name is the front end of your testimony. I don't despise the days of being called addict. It's the front end of my testimony. God still called Jacob by Jacob. I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob, Jacob. I'm his God. But the name is a name that you want here forever. There's an amazing thing in Revelation 2:17. It says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of that testimony about that name. He said, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I don't know what that means yet. But listen, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. I wonder what my name is. It's not Gilbert. It's not Addict. Come on, it's not Cheater. I wonder what my name is. I wonder what your name is. I don't know. But do you want a hint? In the season of preparation for what God is doing, awakening us, signs and wonders of miracle. If you want a hint, let me tell you how to find just a hint. Don't hide from the presence of God. He will never leave you or forsake you. And wherever you are or wherever you go, you will be able to say, surely the Lord is in this place, and I know it. And I know it. And then you'll begin to get little hints of your name. The names that line up with his purposes for your life. They used to call me addict, now they call me pastor. What a shift that is, amen? Yeah, I'm the only God can do. And he'll guide you on the path of your life to your new names. How many know he makes all things new? Especially you, amen? Come on, the presence of God, God with you. Never, ever, ever deny that. Never let that go. No matter what road you're on, even the days of your worst sins and failures, he'll change that name. Amen? Come on, let's stand. We have that salvation prayer this morning. Let's put that up. But if you're here today and you need a new name, and even if you don't know Jesus now, let me tell you, he's with you, waiting, hoping. The Bible says even praying that you would finally not deny him. So as we hear and we pray this prayer, if it's the first time you've prayed it, I want you to just walk up front. Give your life to him. He's going to give you a new name. You'll never be the same. What a glorious, glorious, glorious thing that is. How many don't want to be what you were yesterday? Ooh, it's a moans. I know. Let's pray this together. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. I know that I'm a sinner, and I repent for my sins. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Today I've been made new. From this day forward, I will follow you. Amen. Let it be so. Let it be done. Come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning for his presence, a hand clap of praise this morning. Come on, we're just going to... What we're going to do this is worship.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram or join us on Facebook. Thank you and have a blessed week.